Welcome to Sustain This, a podcast where we discuss mindful consumption, personal style, and the quest for living a more intentional life. I'm Alyssa, a sustainable stylist.
And I'm Christina, a shopaholic turned minimalist-ish.
And I'm Sina, a color consultant and slow fashion style coach.
Together, we will unpack the nuances of what it really means to be a conscious consumer and find more joy in what we have right now. So grab your tea, your coffee, or whatever floats your boat and join us in the conversation. Let's go.
Yay.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the podcast. Thank you so much for tuning in. Today, we're talking about the secret to smart shopping. So this is an article from fashionistpsychology.com. We'll make sure to link the article in the show notes. There's actually a really cool test that comes with this article as well. So you can kind of do a little test on your own emotional intelligence and how well you are to how you can like alter your own emotions like in a shopping situation. I think that's basically what the whole article is about, I think that's what the whole topic is about in this article.
And like how tapped into your own emotions you are while you're shopping and like leading up to shopping, post-shopping.
As far as I understand, it's from the whole article is based on a study from the University of Kentucky. And basically it explains how similar, I really like the comparison they make that you can be like really good at eating or not eating healthy, but you can be very into all of the facts about eating healthy and like all of the nutritional facts and you know everything about eating healthy, but you can still make bad choices. And I think it's the same in like a shopping situation. I think even for us three, we're definitely not perfect individuals. And it also depends on how you're feeling on the specific day, I think. So it's really about like how good are you at regulating your own emotions, even if you're not feeling, if you're going shopping and you're not feeling well, how good are you at regulating your emotions in that situation?
Yeah, retail therapy, you know?
Yeah, we actually all took the test and I think we got the same result, right?
Yes.
So we all got a score of 70 to 105, which is high emotional intelligence. And it says it means you have a solid and healthy relationship with your emotions to make wise shopping decisions. And I feel like this makes us all sound super perfect. We're actually just talking about maybe it's just how we're feeling today. Like the answers that you give to that test could also just be how you're feeling today.
And I think also you might like, and I feel like with those self-assessment quizzes too, sometimes you might bias yourself to perform better than you actually do. But I think it's still a nice jumping off point to do your own self-assessment. And because some of the questions I was like, I thought it was interesting the way they asked certain questions and like scenarios that they created. So it kind of makes you think like, how would I react? Or am I in tune with my emotions? Or can I modify my emotions? Or would I in this situation? So it is a very helpful kind of quiz, a nice little self-reflection. It takes literally 3 minutes, under 3 minutes. So we will leave it linked down below and it is very helpful. I really like how that article does bring it back to like, you can read all of the nutrition labels and follow the macros and all of that stuff. But if I want to have a hamburger, sometimes I still am going to have a hamburger and fries.
And you really got some work to do if you want to change that, right? It's, I think people sometimes also when it comes to shopping less, that it like comes easily if you just, I think definitely it's important to become aware of the problem. But I think it's also realizing that you, especially if you do have a hard time regulating your emotions, that you have some work to do, which is the hard part.
Yes. I like that this talks about emotional intelligence in general, because I feel like, especially if you're trying to shop less, like for example, if you're doing like a no buy or a low buy, I think it kind of goes twofold. For example, kind of what sparked my own motivation, it started with an emotional reason. I was angry. I was upset with myself. I was embarrassed. I was shocked when I like added up how much I spent on clothes the year that I decided to start my no buy. I was shocked and embarrassed and felt crushed under the amount of debt that I had, that it felt like it was going nowhere. So the motivation to start that no buy and change my relationship with shopping was an emotional one. But then I think when a lot of times when we approach a no buy or a low buy, a lot of it is approached in the angle of logic. So kind of like, if this, then that. If no buying this, no buying that. And
you don't really need that. Like, it's often
you
like
don't really very, need that. It's all very logical. It's all very practical, pragmatic. And I think the reason it is so hard for a lot of people to stick to a no buy or a low buy, or the reason they feel like they failed or fell off the wagon when they do buy something or quote unquote break the rules, even though a lot of times you didn't break the rules because you set your rules to create boundaries so that it's achievable, that is emotional. So you have to factor your emotions into it, because you can't operate strictly on logic. Like, there's things. So, and I think that is kind of the key to success in challenges like that, in so many things, in shopping, just because you want to shop for fun. Like, I think being in tune with your emotions is the missing factor that I think a lot of us, it's almost like it's a skill that I think so many of us would benefit from developing and exercising and building that muscle. Because the other thing too is, a lot of us use shopping to escape our emotions and to soothe our emotions. So even being in tune with that and having that awareness, it all can't just be logical.
I really feel like regulating your emotions in general should be a higher part, like the curriculum when you go to school, because it's like, to me, the closest I get is, you know, when I became a parent, that's really when I became aware, maybe a little bit naive and a little bit late in life, but that's really when I became aware how vital it is to be able to regulate your own emotions and not let your emotion, you know, take that out on the child, for example. And I feel like in so many life situations, be that being like food or shopping or whatever it is, like we need to become better at regulating our own emotions.
And feeling them.
Yeah.
Is really what it is, I think. It's almost like a this too shall pass type of thing. So if you are doing, I'm going to keep taking it back to low buy or no buy, for example, because I think a lot of people are familiar with those challenges and have tried them and have maybe felt like they failed. And I think that's why, you know, we impulse buy, or why we open up the phone to scroll or any of that. Because you're probably feeling something, whether it be anxiety, boredom, even kind of withdrawal to get that next dopamine hit, because we're addicted to our phones and we're often addicted to online shopping and scrolling and that escapism. And so instead, spending that, taking the 90 seconds to feel the feeling, to say, oh, yes, I am anxious or I am bored. Let's sit and breathe it out, or let's go outside and go on a walk and get fresh air, and let that kind of pain, pleasure, teeter-totter regulate back to, you know, level back out again, instead of I'm feeling pain, so now I gotta go buy this thing or go scroll or go open up Instagram. And then it kind of puts you in that loop, like it's that distraction loop, that continuous distraction loop.
Yeah, I like how the article makes you want to like reflect. So maybe we could reflect, the three of us, because it actually asks the question, like, were there instances where your emotions took the lead, steering you towards a purchase you later questioned, like recently?
Alyssa?
Say words, Alyssa.
It felt like you were going to say something.
Was actually thinking, I think in general, yes, but not recently. Recently, it's been so pragmatic. But I think to both of your points, I think this speaks to so much of the other content that we've been talking about, and how we shop and how we consume and even how we style ourselves is all really part of the bigger picture in who we are in self-discovery and personal growth. Like, you can't have one without the other. So anyway, back to the reflecting. No, all of my purchases have been pretty rooted in rational requirements. Although maybe, no, you know what? Maybe the toque we bought in Copenhagen, that was emotional. I hadn't been planning on buying a toque. And that was purely like, I'm happy in this moment. I want to remember this moment. It's beautiful. I want a souvenir. I'm going to buy this toque. Like,
yeah.
So I think, because I think, and I wonder if that's something too, like we often think we associate an emotional purchase with negative emotions. Like, oh, I bought this when I was feeling sad or anxious or lonely. But
yes,
this was a purchase that was based on happiness and good memories. And it doesn't mean it wasn't impulsive. But
maybe it's a better kind of impulsive if you're in like a better state of mind. I don't know. I don't have any scientific proof of that.
Yeah, and but I think there's a difference between that and like the high and the rush of like,
yeah, to use it when you're feeling low to kind of bring yourself up.
Yeah, like there's happiness and then there's euphoria, right? Yeah. So I feel like that's a more stable, baseline, rational kind of state to be in, rather than that's almost floating kind of feeling where you feel high almost, right? So I think there's a difference if there's like if there's a slow kind of like you're present in the moment, as opposed to feeling that feeling of frenzy and I got to try everything and like, oh, this is the deal and I'm going to miss it. And I'm here in Copenhagen and I'm not going to, when am I going to be here again?
See it again.
So I better buy this. Like one feels very almost like I feel like a tightness in my chest, the way I was speaking with that compared to, oh, I'm here with my friends and I like this color and why not?
Makes me happy.
Yeah.
I think that's actually like the first there, because there are four dimensions of the way they measure the emotional intelligence. The first one is perceiving emotions. And I think to all of that you just mentioned, Christina, I think that's very well aligned with that one. Like, are you aware of how that pair of shoes make you feel is one of the questions. So I think like becoming aware is the very first step. Becoming aware 100%. Of how you feel about that. Even, you know, if you're, whether you're feeling bad or you're feeling happy, I think becoming aware of your mental state is the first most important step. And I think many of us don't even really think that much about it.
Yeah. I think like Christina said, like naming, just starting by naming the emotion is so powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It can really put you in a different mindset.
Yeah,
because it's it's the first step to awareness, and I think either we're not aware at all or we're too distracted to be aware or we don't want to be aware of it. So I think bringing it back to yourself and just seeing how you're feeling, we were talking about the body and bringing it back to the body before we came on here.
Yes.
And how kind of, you know, there's that famous book, The Body Keeps the Score, and I think it does. So bringing it back to even how are you feeling? How do I feel in my shoulders? What's my breathing like? What's my posture like? And kind of like feeling through your whole body of how you're feeling in that moment. So do you feel stressed or anxious or competitive? Or do you feel relaxed and chill and excited? Or do you feel euphoric and you want to keep this going? Do you feel in control or not? So I think it's, I think naming that is very, very helpful.
Yeah.
So there's kind of four pillars of this emotional intelligence score.
Yes. So the first one is perceiving emotions. Then the next one is facilitating emotions.
Facilitating, can you use your emotions to enhance your shopping experience? Ever felt a mood boost from buying that perfect dress?
I think you get the mood boost from finding the perfect dress and searching for the perfect dress. And you do get that little bit of happiness when you find that perfect dress. And then it goes down.
But I also think, was it in our previous episode we talked about the difference between shopping online versus in physical stores? And Christina, you mentioned that you like to look at, you know, physical, like shopping in physical stores as an opportunity to get in your steps and get some fresh air and have a nice cup of coffee and like get some downtime with your partner and make it more of a leisurely thing to shop rather than just like doom scrolling out of boredom.
Yes.
Which I think that's also a way of like facilitating emotions in a shopping situation. I feel like that's a very balanced approach to at least become better at facilitating and making it a better experience overall, because it's not necessarily an enjoyable experience when you're like doom scrolling and shopping on your phone. It's kind of a nothing experience. It's more of like of course you can get excited, but it's not as much a leisurely experience, I think.
Yes. And I think this is an interesting, because I talk about what I've been biasing this conversation towards, I think a little bit, is that feeling of like happiness and excitement when you shop. But I was just talking to my friend the other day, and she often talks about how she hates shopping, and shopping makes her really anxious because there's a lot of decisions to be made. And then she gets really anxious about like, did I buy the right size if I'm ordering online and then I can't take it back? And what if I don't like this color and this cut doesn't look good on me and this feels like a waste? So she kind of goes into the opposite direction. Like it bumps her out compared to make her excited. That sometimes
far from everyone who loves shopping.
Yeah. So much so that she kind of like will throw her hands up in the air and not buy anything at all, even though she often shops because she needs something rather than for leisure. So I think it is important to recognize that too. It's like, I know a lot of people who listen to this podcast and us in general, we like shopping. Shopping is a leisure activity and kind of a hobby for us, but for many others, it's the opposite and people hate it.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, it's true.
So the emotions can kind of go both ways for sure.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's probably about figuring out how to facilitate your emotions so you can make it a better experience for you. And if online shopping, because you can do it like quietly, is that for you, then, you know, that's good.
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. And then the third pillar is understanding emotions. Do you comprehend the emotional impact of your shopping choices?
Maybe that impulsive buy wasn't just about the discount, but also your mood that day.
This one makes me think of, I find that this one is where I tend to lead my choices more. Like, I'll often think of the purchases that I regret. So this one almost comes first for me in the sense of like, rather than shopping and being like, okay, what's my mood? I'll be like, wait a minute. Remember that time you bought that thing when you were feeling this and like you regretted that purchase? So this is almost like where I tend to start.
I like that.
I don't know, you know, or it's like, you know, it's like we talked about the hamburger at the beginning, like, you know, the feeling after you eat, like maybe you were craving it and it was great. But then you kind of feel not great after.
Yeah,
that's always been the motivation for me. Like, I remember, this is maybe like, this is outside of fashion, but it is, I think, emotional regulation is like, this is more than clothes, I think, at this point. But I remember the very first time I don't drink a lot, but I remember the very first time I drank too much and felt hungover the next day, I was like, never again.
Yeah. Like, that's just why I don't drink anymore, because I know it's going to make me feel terrible. And I just don't like, I mean, I had that glass of wine with you guys in Copenhagen, and that one actually didn't make me feel like shit after. But in general, I'm like, I don't want, I can, yeah, you can anticipate the consequence of the action and you would just rather not do it. Or, you know, you could flip that to even, for example, going to the gym. Like, you don't want to go. You're like really comfortable on your couch. You're warm in your bed. But you know, if you get up and go, you're going to feel amazing after.
Yeah.
And that sometimes is the thing you need to get out of the house and put your shoes on and go lift heavy shit.
Yeah.
So fun.
True. Yeah.
But it does feel amazing after. And it's like, if you don't want to go, that can be the thing. So you're right. Anticipating the outcome of the action can either encourage behavior or dissuade behavior, which I think is, I think that's true. And I think that's kind of a nice, like, it's a way that you're thinking ahead and trying to learn from your mistakes. Hmm. Now, sometimes it's like, sometimes I still am going to have the hamburger and fries, and sometimes we're, you know, or we'll skip the gym. Maybe you need to listen to your body that day. And I think, again, that's still taking it inwards and thinking about how you're feeling and naming that. And really, I think it's just about being present. Hmm. Don't you think?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think so.
Yeah, I think it's all. Oh, sorry, Alyssa.
Sorry. No, no, go ahead. No, you go ahead.
I was just going to say first.
Present. No, I literally was just going to repeat. Like, I think it's about being present and aware. Awareness is key, and like
exactly.
not doing anything mm-hmm. mindlessly, you know? Like,
yeah. Yeah. I think they're all just different ways of regulating emotions, like from different perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the last one.
Yeah, the last one is managing emotions. Can you control your emotions to make wise shopping decisions? It's all about resisting the urge to splurge when you know it's not the right time, which I think is very connected to the previous point as well, like managing mm-hmm. your emotions even before you buy.
Yeah. I think this one too is also about conditioning, and this is also a lot like a muscle, and I think we often forget that this is a practice. Mm-hmm. So it's like the more, like, I think, you know, willpower is a muscle. The more you exercise it, the easier it is to say no,
because it's like a habit, right?
Because it's a, yeah, exactly. Because it becomes a habit. Because, and then there kind of goes to the other side of this other piece where you won't always have willpower. You might be tired and cranky and sad and whatever, but but because it's become a habit, you're just so used to being like, no, what's happening? What am I doing? Da, 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 that, yeah, because you've built that habit. So it's so much easier.
Mm-hmm.
So much easier to resist those. Urges.
I think, yeah, and I agree with that. I think the other thing here too is this is where my mind immediately goes to perfectionism and thinking, like, again, I think we often stay outside of the gray and the nuance, and it's very yes or no thinking. Mm. And therefore, like, my brain would always tilt to no impulse buy is a good buy. I should never really say yes, but there's plenty of times when you can say yes. So when is it all right to say yes for you? Now, this does mention it's all about resisting the urge to splurge when you know it's not the right time.
Mm-hmm.
So what are those barriers, boundaries for you? Is it a budget thing? Is it, I just bought four new things that I haven't even worn yet. So I think you know in your gut, but at the same time, I just want people to be wary of that perfectionism and in the sense of it's never the right time to buy, or the kind of like the idea of like, is it a want versus is it a need? In, I'd say for most of us, especially when it comes to shopping, we don't need anything, but we still buy because we want something. So when do you say yes? When is it okay for you to say yes? Mm-hmm. And when does it feel good to say yes without letting in feelings of buyer's remorse or perfectionism or any of those? It's that perfectionistic thinking that I think can get in the way of this question. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And even when you say yes, I think we talked about that last time, it can still turn out to be a no later, because it's like, okay, well, this wasn't as great as I thought it was going to be. It's not like a straightforward way.
Totally.
Yeah. I don't know if you wanted to talk about this, Alyssa, sorry. The Loewe bag that you bought at the airport.
Yes. We can talk about it.
Okay.
Of course.
When you texted us that you bought her, I was like, whoa, that was out of left field for me.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
So let's talk about it. You, that's a managing emotions, and that is the urge to splurge. And you were like, oh, I'm here and I'm getting her. So what was the emotional hierarchy that happened there?
Well, so you know what's interesting is that it was also very, very pragmatic. But I had to check my emotions. Like, I sat out, I literally walked out of the store before I made the purchase and sat with my emotions for Like, it was a solid 40 minutes. And, like, I was checking because my flight was leaving. I was like, hey, we're on the clock. It was like a very little bit of a frenzy. Mm-hmm. But the root, the basis of that decision was pragmatic and rational. So the reason being, a couple of years ago, I bought my first Loewe secondhand. And
the navy blue.
The navy blue. It's like super scuffed, but like I love it. Mm-hmm. And I realized, like, first of all, I'm not a bag person. I recognize I'm not a bag person. It's been years that I've been looking for a bag that, like, I don't want a lot of bags. I want two. I want one for spring, one for summer. I want a basket bag, which I just got. This is so exciting. And like an evening bag. The end. Like, I don't like switching out bags. Ugh. Mm-hmm. So I found the puzzle. I saved up for a really long time for my first puzzle secondhand. And then after having that bag for 2 years, I was like, this bag is so, so, so good that in my mind, I was mentally prepared to spend full price on the next one, because mm-hmm. I knew that this is my bag and that it will eliminate all other bags for me. Mm-hmm. And I was saving. So from that point on, so it's been like 2 years, maybe like a year and a half, 2 years since I bought that other one. And since then I've been like, okay, like I know how much these are on the secondhand market. And even secondhand, I've been looking, like you're constantly looking. So secondhand, the puzzles cost around $3,600-$3,900 US plus taxes, duties, and shipping. So that would mm-hmm. put me at around, sorry, we have to include numbers because it's a rational purchase. So this is where my brain was going. Mm-hmm. So that would be around, like, I'd be spending around, you know, at the least, let's say if I got a really good deal secondhand, $3,600-$3,800. So I was like, I go to the airport. I'm in Copenhagen. There's a Loewe store. I'm like, let me just try one on. Let me just mm-hmm. see. Like, I know I want it. I've never been to a Loewe store. So this is a cool experience. I go in. They have a color that is perfect for me. And with the duties, for whatever reason at the airport, it came out to around 4,000 Canadian. And with the tax rebate.
Oh, yeah. The duty free. Yeah.
The duty free, I would get around $400 on the rebate, $3,600. Yeah. So to me, it wasn't even an emotional. At that point, my brain was like, Alyssa, like, you won't have to pay duties, you won't have to pay shipping, you won't have to, and you're getting the rebate. This is literally the cheapest I'm going to find this bag. Okay?
That's right. Yep.
It is, though. Mm-hmm. Unless even if I go into like a local luxury store here in Canada, they are pricing them at $5,000.
Yeah, plus tax.
Plus HST.
Yeah.
So literally, mm-hmm. This was like an 80% pragmatic purchase.
Because yeah, and like, want or need. You didn't need it. You wanted it. And
I wanted it.
Yeah. And happy to spend the money.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of pressure in the situation. But
yes,
I think with that, you were able to stay in check with your emotions. You had awareness of your emotions in it. Yes. And this is what I'm talking about. You will still make the purchases sometimes, yeah. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's a bad thing.
No. And it was technically impulsive. Like, yeah, you said mm-hmm. it exactly. Like, it was technically impulsive. I wasn't planning on buying it, but I did. I took that minute to step out of the store. Like I said, it was like a solid half hour to be like, am I buying this because I'm in Copenhagen? Am I buying it because I'm nervous? I just left the girls. I'm going on So you kind of run through the list, and yeah, to your point, it ended up still being a good purchase, even though it was a heightened experience.
I would almost disagree that you call it impulsive, because this is something that it's kind of like, this is what I mean about the wish list. Like, when something's on your wish list, there's going to be a time and a place where you pull the trigger, right? There is going to be a right time. And if something is on your wish list and it's just kind of parked there and it's like kind of floating and you came into the situation that you assessed to be the right time to buy that.
Mm, yeah. Yes.
The money was there. The plan was there. And it's like, oh, maybe I wasn't planning on knowing that there was a store here at the airport. I wasn't planning on being here.
Yeah.
But I've created the plan and the scenario to purchase when that comes up.
Right.
Even though, like, even though you didn't pre-plan to do it that day, for example, it came across and you're like, okay, let's pull the trigger. Yeah. For example, we talked about that same thing in the last episode when Sina bought her, when you bought that puffer coat, the chocolate brown coat, right?
Yeah.
You had a criteria of things that you needed. You happened to be in store. Maybe it wasn't everything you initially were looking for when you saw it, but you tried it on. It hit everything you needed at the time. And you're like, okay. Mm-hmm. Like, we made the decision. There's some self-trust in that decision-making too, right? It can't So I think I love it.
Thank
I think
you.
It's
you're
great.
Right. Thank you. That was really well put. That was really, really well put. Point. And I think that I do think you're absolutely right. And I think that kind of touches on the whole – like, I think what I've spoken to before in the past and what we've spoken about on the podcast is that, you know, slow fashion and conscious consumption is never a, like, none of these actions exist in a vacuum. Every decision informs the other.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like, to anyway, I'm just repeating what you're saying, Christina, is that, like, there was a plan in place, like, you know, and so the more you build all these habits, almost like the easier it becomes in a way. So it's, like, I didn't just randomly buy. You're right. You're absolutely right. I didn't randomly buy the puzzle. There was saving. There was wish listing. There was knowing that it was a good purchase, blah, blah, blah. So
it was just an unexpected time.
Yeah. Love it.
Thanks. Thanks. Sorry. I know that was a little long-winded.
No, it was good. Okay. I love that bag.
Yeah, me too.
What color was it? I can't remember. So was it light blue?
So it's oak. It's like a
It's like a beigey,
like a toned down camel, almost like a desaturated camel or cognac color, which is actually better than the camel in my opinion, because it's not so like harsh.
Nice.
Anyway, thank you. I love talking about it.
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Christina, did you have any recent emotional purchases? We talked, or like Sina? What would you guys say?
I feel like for me, it's often skincare. It's not so much clothing. Like, I will.
Yeah, that's talk about it.
Good point. Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like I buy excessive skincare or hair care. And it's so stupid because I know what works for me and I'm not one to necessarily try new things. But then, you know, sometimes if I'm feeling a little bit low or. Like recently I haven't necessarily felt 100% myself and it's like, oh, I need to treat myself to like a new face oil or I need to try something else to get that glow back when it's like,
oh my God,
I know I already
right
have
now. What are you talking about?
It's funny. It's often like skincare for me, which
I think that is for a lot of people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I think it's like the promise of like a little miracle thing to like solve all of your, I don't know. It's, I think I really enjoy facials, like going to a facial where to get like detox and like get all of the impurities removed and stuff. I feel like it's like a spa treatment. I think that may be the thing too. If I buy like a new skincare product, the promise of it just magically, I don't know what it is. I think it's the whole experience unboxing it and the smell and putting it on the skin and
getting that glow, getting that glass skin.
Yeah.
Because I think when your skin feels like if you're having acne or scars or any of that, it can affect your confidence, right? So, I can see that definitely. Yeah.
Is it more rewarding or do you feel like it's almost do you get more of like that lasting satisfaction because it's something you can repeat and like it's a more of an experiential thing? Like you have the whole like ritual of putting it on before bed and then you did that. Whereas clothing, I feel like it's almost more, it's easier to fall into that trap of like, okay, wore it once and took a photo.
Yeah, it's exciting when you put it out of the box and then
But skincare, like it's, you can repeat it. So I don't know.
That's true.
Or it takes, I think skincare also is that skincare is almost like a less of an instant gratification thing to me because it often takes like 4 to 8 weeks to even see the results that the thing is promising, right? Like I think a lot of people will buy the skincare because the influencer or whoever it was said, oh, this changed my skin and this cleared my skin. This cleared my skin in a week or whatever. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it always takes longer than that. So that's something that is, I think we buy it for the instant gratification, but then maybe that's why people continuously buy skincare because, oh, this didn't work for me. And then I have to like move on to the next thing. Else. But it takes so long to see the benefit, even up to 3 months or more. So but I think once you do see the benefit of it, it's like, wow, you know? So maybe it is kind of like, as you kind of allude to, that sort of continuous.
Yeah, it might be.
Building without, of the benefit.
I haven't been aware, but it actually makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Hmm. Yeah.
It's almost more like pampering.
It is. Yeah, I think so. Mm. A little bit of self-care.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think really what this article really makes me think about is just having like that kind of emotional body awareness while you're shopping and just questioning why, but also being really honest about your answer, not giving the ideal answer, but what's your honest answer. I think that's going to be the most helpful thing if you're keeping your emotions in check as you shop, whether it be boredom shopping or like a planned experience. I think that's going to be the most helpful tool. So let us know, were there instances where your emotions took the lead, steering you towards a purchase that you questioned? And let us know when you were like happy to make a purchase. Mm-hmm. And what was the difference maybe? Leave us a comment down below on YouTube. And like, subscribe, share.
Yeah, thanks for listening.
We'll see you in the next one.
Ciao.
Bye.
Ciao. Bye.
Now I say ciao. Because of
great.
Melissa.
Love it.
Thank you so much for joining in our conversation this week. If you're enjoying the show, we'd love it if you subscribe to the podcast on Spotify and Apple and leave us a rating and review. It's one of the best ways to support the Sustain This podcast at zero cost to you.
We're also a community-led podcast, so if you have any questions for us, topic requests, or even guests you want to hear from, please send us a DM on Instagram at sustainthis_podcast. We read all of our comments and look forward to hearing from you.
We hope you join us again next Tuesday, where we'll talk about so much more than clothes. Ciao!